In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. The Orthodox Church is very serious, it's very literal about going to heaven. And as I've been saying for the past few weeks, because it's been reminded to me that the very purpose and the number one agenda of our church, of all of us here, and me here, together, is to go to heaven. That's agenda item number one. And today we celebrate, as we approach the nativity, the incarnation of our Lord, we also commemorate the holy forefathers of Christ. From Abraham, all the way to Jesus, to Joseph, all the prophets, all those who before Jesus took on flesh, also who were seeking the kingdom of heaven. Now, they look forward to what we have today, because we have this pass to the heavenly kingdom, to this heavenly banquet. And by the word pass, I mean what St. Paul says in the Epistle of Colossians. He's talking to the Colossians, the church in Colossae, who have perhaps were first fervent Christians, and then they start to get a little bit off track, and they start to let their old bad habits come in and started looking past to the pleasures and the goals that they had, and they started to forget this vision, again, that the number one agenda item of the church is to go to the heavenly kingdom. And so St. Paul gives them this vision, this divine vision of heaven. He says that those who are faithful, who follow Jesus, who love Jesus, who have faith in Jesus, who know him to be the Christ, who know them to be the Messiah, that Jesus, he says, will hide them. As if, I imagine, hiding them underneath his robes. And he will take them and hide them and bring them even to the very throne of the kingdom of heaven to sit next to Jesus. And it says, he says, St. Paul says, that when Christ is revealed and manifested in his glory, all those who wanted to go with him will be manifested in glory with him. The word that's in the Greek is co-glory. They are co-manifested with Christ. And when I say the word pass, it's like this. Imagine you're walking outside the stadium where the Seahawks play. I don't know what the stadium is called these days. It seems to change every 5 years or so. But you're walking there. All of a sudden, you're a crowd. You have your Seahawks garb. You're a Seahawks fan. And then someone comes and takes you and takes some other people and takes you and sneaks you in, brings you in through the door, brings you past all the crowds, takes you to the special elevator. You go up the special elevator, not quite knowing where you're going. You go out of the extra elevator, you go and you're in this beautiful box right on the 50-yard line, and you're sitting with the owner of the Seahawks. You've been snuck past all of these people, and here you are, the best seat in the house, the seat that any Seahawks fan would say is the seat of glory. Now, we're not talking about the Seahawks, and just the Seahawks, I'm sorry. We are talking about heaven, that St. Paul has promised, and Jesus has given a vision, also the same vision through this parable we have today, that God is inviting us to the best seat in the house as Christians, to be with him forever in glory, to be in the best place that any normal, rational, right-thinking person would want to be. So St. Paul says, I'm sorry, excuse me, St. John Chrysostom says that Christians, when they're taken by Jesus, they are led past the archangels, and then they're led past the angels, and then they're led past the seraphim and the cherubim, and they're placed right next to Jesus, next to his throne. Now, the angels and the archangels and the cherubim and the seraphim don't get jealous. Perhaps we in our worldly thinking, if that happened to someone else and we were watching them, we would get jealous. The angels rejoice because it's the fulfillment of what God has always wanted to have with his human beings, with all of us here, to be with him in communion and fellowship next to him forever. So we need to live in the heights, to set our mind to living next to Christ's throne, as if we are living right this very day, because in a sense we are. We have a foretaste by this communion, by the church that Christ has given us. We have a foretaste of this beautiful thing that is promised us. So in this gospel, in this epistle today, St. Paul says to put to death all the old impulses of the flesh. Put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and foul talk from your mouth. In these you once walked, he said, when you lived in them, but now put them away. He also says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and put on a new nature. We don't need to lie anymore to each other. We don't need to deceive each other. We don't need to be angry with each other. We don't need to judge any of each other. We are in heaven. And these passions that the church fathers call them, these bad things that somehow kind of lead us and guide us, we need to learn to let them go away and to not hold on to them. Now to this parable that we have this morning, this parable of the banquet. And again, Jesus tells the same promise of heavenly life. But in this case, he describes it as a heavenly table set, a banquet given for a joyous occasion, with great invitees that we Christians are invited to come to sit at this table with God. And also Jesus is speaking to the Jews of his time. He's saying, all the people who came before you were hankering and wanting this invitation. And you have been invited, you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, those who say that you believe in God, but when God's in front of you, you all of a sudden, you don't see him anymore. And he's inviting them and saying, you've been invited to this banquet. So he gives this parable. And they have the host of the banquet invites his guests. We can imagine that they are the hosts, fellow countrymen, family, friends, acquaintances, people he knows well, maybe even people he doesn't know so well, but he wants to get them all together for a joyous feast, in this case, a wedding feast. And what do people do? Some of the people, they start to make excuses. One person bought a field of land, and I need to be excused, I need to go and look at it. Another person said, I've bought 5 oxen, and I need to examine them. What's he going to do with the oxen? Look at the nose, look at the tail, look on the legs. What does he need to look at an ox for? 5 oxen. But he said he wants to be excused for this very mundane reason. And another person says, I've been married, I just can't come. Right? The fathers of the church say that there are 2 kinds of distractions. The first kind of distractions are the cares for survival. The people who had the land and had the oxen were so obsessed with survival and their work and their livelihood that they were so afraid to let go of it for a moment of joy. Our life is meant for joy, not for labor. If we're working and working and working all the time and not having communion with God and appreciating what God has given us, that's putting the ox before the banquet. And then the person who said, I am married and I just can't come, the fathers say, that is the one who is a slave to nature, a slave to their passions, a one who is a slave to the pleasures and the materialistic things of life. And they have forgotten, again, about the most important things of life, to be with God. Our marriages in the Orthodox Church have a purpose. It's not just to be married. A man and a woman get married and they have kids. And those are very good and fine things. But many people other than Orthodox Christians get married. Right? What does the Orthodox Christian teach about marriage? Marriage is a joy, and it has a purpose, and it has a direction, and it has an end point. When we are married, we are married together to go to heaven together, to be snuck in with Jesus together, and to remind ourselves of the joy that's going to be coming, and to go sit next to the throne of God. Can you imagine being married and going to this heavenly banquet is the ultimate prom? It's the ultimate date night. It's the ultimate reason why we all exist together. Those who are married, those who are monastics, those who are still seeking and striving, those who are widowed, those, everyone, we are called to come together and go with Christ, who is the ultimate bridegroom, and we, the church, are the ultimate bride, are called to go and join him in this fellowship in the heavenly kingdom forever. Now, the Holy Eucharist, the communion, the body and blood of Christ that we are about to partake, is a foretaste of this heavenly banquet. And he's calling all of us to go and receive it and enjoy it. So, in parting, what are the lessons of this parable and this epistle? The lessons are, remember the good things that Jesus Christ himself has promised us. Another is, do not be rude to God when he has called us, accept his invitation in the great things of our life and even in the minor things of our life. Remember that every moment is a chance to go and partake of what God has offered us. And again, also, listen to his promises, because Christ is reaching out not to other people. He's reaching out to everybody, including you and me. And also, hear about what Jesus wants to give to us. And do not be foolish and ignore what he says. And do not be distracted by things that don't matter and neglect the ultimate things that matter. And then finally, the same lie that the snake, the serpent, gave to Adam and Eve in the garden and said that there's another life outside of obedience and communion to God. And though God said, if you go and partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though God says you will not die, if God says you will die, you will not die. That's the lie of the devil. The same lie that he told them, he tells to everybody, even us, when we come for various excuses in the various parts of our life and say that there's something better than this banquet, that's better than this heaven that God has offered us, and I'm going to go and focus on that thing and put off the invitation, say no to the invitation, deal with the invitation, maybe or maybe I will not give my RSVP, and then eventually don't go. God has given us what we have, and let us partake of it, because we are wise Orthodox Christians looking for the good things of heaven that God wants to give us.